Today we are beginning our Lenten preaching series entitled Encounters with Jesus, and over the next 6 weeks we're going to look at different people that Jesus encountered, many on his way to the cross of Calvary, and people from all walks of life, people that he sought out, and people that sought out Jesus. And we trust that as we look at these encounters, it'll help prepare us for Holy Week and the celebration of Resurrection Sunday. Today we're in Mark chapter 9 for the story of a desperate father. This is a father who is heartbroken over his son. Father had tried everything to rid his son of an evil spirit, but nothing worked. The boy's life was in jeopardy, and he's running out of time. He's running out of hope. He even brings the boy to the disciples, and they're not able to do anything to help him. But he reaches out to Jesus, a desperate father, reaching out to Jesus and has a life-changing encounter with him. So let's read this story. It's from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 27, and a message entitled, A Desperate Father. Hear now the word of God. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into a fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you. Come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. You know, when I read this story, my heart goes out to this father. I'm a father of two girls, and when it comes to our children, we'll do anything, anything that they are well again or doing good. And this son that he has is troubled by this spirit, and he's done everything he can. But nothing has worked. The first point we want to make this morning is this. The father loved his son and tried everything to heal him. He loved his son, but tried everything to heal him. And this father may be desperate, but he is also very devoted. He is very devoted to his son. And he would do anything that his son would be well again. When it comes to our children and making sure they're well, indeed, we will do anything we can. And I am convinced that he has done everything he possibly could to get his son well again. But now he's running out of hope. He's running out of options. He's a desperate father. What do we learn about his son from this passage? Well, we learn several things. First of all, we learn that he is demon-possessed. He has this evil spirit within him. And so he's stricken by this evil spirit. And this not a sickness or a disease that you can treat with medicine. This requires something a little bit more. We also learn that this demon has robbed this boy of his speech. So he's no longer able to talk. The son can't tell his father what his needs are. He can't express what is going on in his life. Can't even tell his father in words, hey, I love you, Dad. The father and son no doubt had a unique relationship because the son no longer had a voice. He couldn't speak. verse 17 tells us. We also learn that his life is in jeopardy. This demon inside him was so controlling that it would at times cause him to fall into a fire or fall into water. It would jeopardize his life. That's how controlling this spirit was. And so this dad had to be near his son at all times. He had to watch him like a hawk because he never knew when this spirit would throw him into harm's way. He had to be ready at a moment's notice to rescue his son. And we also learn that this son had been like this since childhood. He is likely by now an older child, maybe even a teenager. And this has been this way for years. So for many years, this father has been dealing with this son and his evil spirit. The sweet fellowship that they knew, that the father knew with his son at the child's birth, is long gone. Now all the father can do is live in fear. He's living in fear that, is this the last day I'll have my son with me? Because I never know what this evil spirit's going to do to him. This father is desperate. He's tried doctors. He's tried rabbis. He tried even the disciples to do something. But no one could help. He's desperate. He's carrying an overwhelming burden for his son to the point that he comes to Jesus. And one thing is for sure, this father loved his son. And he would do anything he could to free him from this spirit. Well, the father approached Jesus and asked him for help, and Jesus said, "Bring the boy to me." And when the boy is brought to Jesus, the text tells us immediately, the spirit threw the boy into a convulsion. And he fell to the ground, and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. The point we want to make is this. The demon is no match for the Son of God. The demon is no match for the Son of God. In fact, the text tells us when the spirit saw Jesus, only then did it throw the boy into convulsions. And you follow Jesus through the Gospels, through the pages of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you will see time and time again the demons cower in the presence of Jesus. In Mark chapter 5, just a few chapters before this chapter, Jesus encounters the demoniac, a man who was living out in a cemetery, had a legion of demons within him, many demons. And when the demoniac throws himself at Jesus' feet and begs for mercy, the demons cower in the presence and say to Jesus, cast us into the herd of pigs. Don't destroy us. And Jesus does so and frees that man from the many demons that he encountered. The desperate father is now before Jesus, and once again his son is convulsing on the ground, and the father's probably thinking, oh no, here we go again. Here we go again. But the demon is no match for Jesus. If you can do anything, the Father says, take pity on us and help us. The Father's saying, Jesus, I don't know what to do for him. I have tried everything. Can you take pity on us and help us? I just want my son back. The Father's heart shines through, but rather than Jesus saying, I'm glad you brought him to me, he seizes on three little words that this father spoke. And those three little words were, if you can. If you can. Jesus is calling the father to a greater level of belief and trust. He's saying to him, look, you brought him to me. Don't start doubting now. And so Jesus says to this desperate father, everything is possible. Everything is possible for him who believes. And the father, perhaps thinking that he's blown his opportunity here, immediately says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. You know, friends, what this exchange between Jesus and this desperate father in verses 22 to 24 reminds me of is this, that Jesus works in our lives despite our doubts. Jesus works in our lives despite our doubts. And aren't you glad that he does? Aren't you glad that he does? That's our third point this morning. Jesus didn't dismiss this father because of his doubts. He didn't say, well, why don't you go back home and you come back when you fully believe in me, when you don't have any doubts anymore. He didn't do that. And he could have done that. Instead, he said, all things are possible for him who believes. Friends, aren't you glad Jesus works in our lives, even when our faith isn't strong, even when there are doubts in the things that we believe and question God? This man is smart enough to know that this is bigger than him. And that is really what the crux of this story is all about. This issue with his son is bigger than the father can handle. And so he's turning to Jesus. Help my unbelief, he says. How can this man have faith and doubt living in the same place? How can the father both believe and not believe? How can faith and doubt coexist together? Father's not asking for new evidence. He's not asking for Jesus to demonstrate his power. He's asking for a stronger faith. He says, I want to believe. I want to believe, but I can't handle these doubts in my mind and in my heart. Help me overcome my unbelief. Everything is possible for him who believes, Jesus tells this desperate father. And the father's response is, I do believe. But boy, can you help me overcome my unbelief. Later in the Gospels, after Jesus' resurrection, we learn of Thomas, the disciple. He'd been with Jesus over 3 years. Knew Jesus well. When the other disciples say, hey, Jesus is resurrected, Thomas said, I'm not going to believe till I see for myself. And he's been called Doubting Thomas for 2,000 years now. And when Thomas finally stood before the resurrected Jesus, you know what? Jesus didn't scold him, didn't hear any scathing words from Jesus. All Jesus said was, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. He didn't rebuke him. He just gave him the facts. And I suspect that Thomas never doubted again. I'm pretty sure he never doubted again after seeing Jesus and hearing those words. Henry Drummond in the late 1800s preached a sermon on doubt, and he said this. He said, Christ never failed to distinguish between doubt and unbelief. Doubt is can't believe. Unbelief is won't believe. Doubt is honest. Unbelief is obstinate. Doubt is looking for light. Unbelief is content with darkness. The desperate father was honest with Jesus. I do believe, he said. Help with my unbelief. Jesus works in our lives despite our doubts, and I'm glad he does. I heard the story of a pastor in his late 40s who was diagnosed with advanced pancreatic cancer, who wrote these words. He said, when I was first diagnosed with cancer, I was full of faith and hope that God would heal me. I had surgery, underwent hours of chemo and radiation treatments, but instead of going into remission, the cancer spread. I found my faith in God being joined with doubt. Like the father with a demon-possessed son, I prayed fervently, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There was a court case in which a man was being tried for murder, and the problem was they never found the body. And during the final arguments, this murderer's lawyer looked at his watch and said, In one minute, the person you think is dead is going to walk through the doors in the back. Then he didn't say a word. He looked at his watch and looked at the door, and everyone in the jury looked at the door. 1 minute passed, and nobody came in. The lawyer said, actually, I made that whole thing up, but you all looked with anticipation at the door. So there must be reasonable doubt. So you must find my client innocent. Well, when the case ended, the jury decided to deliberate, and they came back about 5 minutes later and declared the man guilty. And the lawyer asked how they could find him guilty. They all had doubts since they were looking at the door. And the foreman explained, we did look at the door. But your client never looked at the door. Interesting story about doubt, isn't it? It's easy for someone to put doubt in our hearts and our minds. It's easy to do that. And you know what? Satan loves to do it. He does it to us all the time. Did God really say? Go back to the Garden of Eden. He put doubt in the mind of Eve. Did God really say you could not eat of this tree? He does the same thing to you and I. Satan loves to plant doubt in our hearts, in our minds. Does God really love you? Is God really going to forgive you for what you've done? How can you say God loves you? And we begin to lean into those doubts and we begin to question our faith. And in those moments, we need to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And that leads to our last point today. We know that all things are possible with God. All things are possible. You see, friends, faith is our best choice because we know God is trustworthy. And what seems like an impossible situation to us is a moment where God is saying, I want you to trust me even more. I loved Marietta's sermon here today, her kid's sermon, because it was spot on about how faith unlocks the power of God to transform our lives. And when we have those impossible situations, when we've been given that diagnosis or a loved one is suddenly gone, we need to lean in even more in our faith. We need to trust God even more. And remember, with God, all things are possible. I don't know what impossible situation you're facing right now, something you need to conquer. Maybe it's a relationship that's not what it needs to be, or maybe it's a financial crisis, or maybe it's a job or career change you think you need to make. I don't know what impossible situation you've been facing. Maybe it's a diagnosis that you've been given from a doctor. Life's not easy. And it certainly wasn't easy for this desperate father who had to watch his son like a hawk every day. Life isn't easy for us. But for us to get through those difficulties, those hardships, those seasons of stress and strain, we need to trust God even more. All things are possible to him who believes. It's interesting to note that at the end of the story, after Jesus delivers the son from the demon, that in verse 26, some of the people who were gathered around thought the boy was dead. Jesus has cast out the demon. It said it left with a shriek, and the boy is left there motionless, and they think, oh, well, he's dead now. And what does Jesus do? He takes him by the hand and stands him up as if to show the people he's not dead. The boy's alive. This story began with a desperate father bringing his son possessed by a demon to Jesus, and it ends with Jesus standing next to this boy, fully healed, fully restored, and the father saying, I believe. Help my unbelief. And I don't know if he had any unbelief after that moment, but he sure should not have. Because he just witnessed the amazing power of God. With God, all things are possible. Let me give you three takeaways from the message today. First of all, faith leads to greater faith. Faith leads to greater faith. When the devil brings doubt into your minds, we need to respond with faith. And we please God by having faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us. So when we trust God and he brings us through a season or a trial or a difficulty, we need to lean into that and have even more faith, a broader faith, a stronger faith. Because faith leads to greater faith. Second, an active faith will overshadow doubts. I think this father had genuine doubts. I really do. He was desperate. No one could help his son, not even the disciples. But he had faith that Jesus could. After the disciples failed to help his son, he could have easily gone home, thinking, well, I tried someone else, but it didn't work. But he kept his faith in Jesus that he indeed could do something. He believed even when the doubts remained. And third, God loves to surprise us with what seemed impossible. God loves to surprise us with what seems impossible. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, which is very small, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. We believe in God because he promises to do what seems like impossible if we only believe. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1 tells us. And the story began with a desperate father who had faith encountering Jesus. And not only did Jesus heal his son, but I think Jesus changed his father's life as well. Took away some of those doubts. Allowed his faith to grow and to be stronger. And he does the same for you and for me. Let me ask you the question today. Have you had that life-changing encounter as well? Do you believe but yet struggle with your unbelief? The good news is today is that Jesus is still changing lives for those who believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Let me close with this story. Benjamin Stevens from Pennsylvania shares about his encounter with Jesus. He says, quote, "I remember from a young age of being aware that I was a sinner and needed to be forgiven of all my sins or else I would never be in heaven. And I also remember my mother teaching me this Bible verse, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.' However, she didn't want me to just memorize the words. She wanted me to understand that that verse applied directly to me and had to be received by me personally. So I learned it this way. For God so loved Ben that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Ben believes in him, Ben should not perish, but have everlasting life." Even being able to say this verse by heart, I still didn't understand what it meant until the night I got saved. To me, salvation sounded too simple. All I had to do was trust in Jesus and I would be forgiven of all my sins and have eternal life. But the night I was saved, the understanding hit me. It was that simple. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He died for me. It's true. He died for everyone, but understanding that he died for me, Ben said, is what really changed me. That was his encounter with Jesus. Jesus said, "Everything is possible for him who believes." Do you believe today? Have you had that life-changing encounter with Jesus? If not, why not? Why not let it be today? Where you say, "I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Come and cleanse me of my sin. Help me to believe in you and remember and live out the truth that all things are possible for him who believes. To the praise of his glory, amen. So be it. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful today for this dramatic encounter that Jesus has with a desperate father. A father who came to Jesus on behalf of his son, who had faith but also doubts. And Jesus received him well, received his request and healed his son. And Lord, it reminds us that faith leads to greater faith. That when doubts continue to overwhelm us, that's when we need to lean into the truths that all things are possible for him who believes. The truth that you're always with us and will never forsake us. The truth that you love us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today. Thank you for this life-changing encounter with Jesus. And Lord, if there's one here today who's never had their life-changing encounter with Jesus, I pray that during this final song, they would invite you into their life, into their heart, with the words, "I believe. Help, Lord, my unbelief." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.